KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, Mike, it's been a week already?
A week already. I mean, it just goes so quick, man.
Yeah, do it, do.
I know.
What did we leave off?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't either.
Once I'm out of here, I don't pay much attention to what I said.
Okay.
You know,
there's always the iPod to keep you reminded.
The iPod?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
My brain went dead. Yeah. I told you I was getting a little weird at this end of the day.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening, all you people out in Radio Land. And by the way, last week was Valentine's Week, and it was a great Valentine's Week. We had 4 people delivering in every direction and all over. They always send me out to Camas Valley and say, hey, take that dirt road with the crooked stump and go up there about 3 miles and you'll find a cabin. And these are the flowers that go there. So that's where they send me. But I don't mind. I like those kinds of rides. It gets me out of the place. But anyway, thank you for listening. And this is about your garden, about your lawns, about your trees, and about your shrubs. It's about ideas, advice, that kind of thing. And if you have a question, you can call me and ask me the question, and I will tell you the answer at 673-4464. 673-4464. So don't hesitate to call. No question is out of bounds, and as long as it's a gardening question, and that's this kind of show. It's a gardening show. Remember that, okay?
Podcast. That's what I was trying to think of.
Podcast.
Not the iPod.
iPod podcast? Oh, okay.
You do.
Great. You got me going. Oh, geez.
Ding dong.
Well, you know, it's still cold out there. It's still kind of cloudy and stuff, and you know, if it's going to be cold, why don't it rain, for crying out loud? You know, it's nasty.
Well, it did a little bit.
Very little. You know, very, very, very little. But at any rate, excuse me. I have been doing the coughing thing here for about a week. Oh, so because it's cold and I'm outside all the time. That's why. But what's in bloom this time of year, you might ask?
Yeah.
And I do that, too, because I want to know what's in bloom so I can tell you all about it. Well, there's quite a few plants, actually, in bloom, with many more with buds getting ready to pop with color. And you often think, well, shoot, I got my yard here, and it won't be pretty until May or end of April or something like that. But if you plant it right and you choose the plants, you can have flowers and blooms year-round, 12 months out of the year, every year, year after year after year.
Nice.
And that's what the show is all about, you know, telling you what you can do, where, you know, what to do with them, how to plant them, how to fertilize them, how to water them, how to take care of them, so that when you listen to me and do exactly as I say, you will have success, guaranteed, okay? But, for instance, everywhere... Excuse me. Jeez, Louise.
You need a cough button over there.
Well, I know. Everywhere I look, I see these daffodil bulbs popping out of the ground. They're sending up their little fresh green stems. And it will probably be a matter of just a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most, before we see these yellow daffodils blooming all over this county.
Not long.
Yeah. And some of them, they're 8, 10 inches. You know, the stem is about 8 or 10 inches long, and they won't get very much taller before the buds will come up, and then they'll open up. And they're really a pretty, pretty yellow. They're just, I bet you there's millions of them in Douglas County, not only in people's yards, but you see them in pastures, you see them on the side of a road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who planted those? Who knows? Probably some bird.
Yeah.
You know.
The wind.
The wind, exactly, exactly. But, you know, that's like one of the early, early things, that bright yellow flowers everywhere. Yep. And you go, wow, man, it is so pretty. And you say, I got to put some of those in my yard, but somehow you don't get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to get around to it this year. It's okay. Now, in the fields, this one field, I've gone by, 100 times. It's out there between Melrose and Looking Glass on that road. And there's cows and horses eating in this little pasture, probably 5 or 6 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And every year it must have 10,000 daffodils in it.
Wow.
Blooming, in full bloom. And the cows and horses don't eat them. They don't stomp on them. They don't destroy them.
They don't like them.
They don't like them, that's right. But they eat around them, and there they are, grazing on the grass when the daffodils are blooming. I mean, it's just amazing how pretty it is. And you can't miss it if you're going out that way. They're on, I'd say, the east side of the road, and before you get to the Melrose Cemetery, right
in
there.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, nobody takes care of them. Like I say, they're in a pasture. The pasture is not irrigated. I've never seen them have irrigation pipes or anything out there. So they're just, somebody planted them way back when, and they said, well, that's good for us, thanks. We'll be here for the rest of eternity.
Don't worry,
it's only natural. But they're just beautiful. They're just bright yellow. You can have the same thing in your yard. You know, this time of year, you're going, geez Louise, is spring ever going to get here? But if you had those daffodils, they'd be up and they'd be blooming and they'd be pretty right now. So it's good. It's a good hot yellow color. And these bulbs basically are indestructible, and they'll grow anywhere. Sometimes nothing else will grow. There they are. They're coming out of a cut bank, you know, on the side of a road or something like that, and again, in a field.
They're pretty much like a weed.
Yeah, basically. All bulbs are like a weed, for crying out loud. But you plant these guys in the fall, and or even in the summer, but you plant them in the fall and forget about them. And then they need very little care, and they multiply faster than rabbits. That's the only term I can come up with.
And easier to take care of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You
there's
don't do
no
anything.
Care.
No care at
no,
all.
No, zero, nada, nil, nothing, no care.
Mother Nature does.
Yeah. And they, like I say, they're indestructible. Deer don't eat them. Horses don't eat them. Cows don't eat them. They don't even step on them for crying out
loud. Nobody likes them.
Yeah. Another winter bloomer is a hellebore, and that's spelled H-E-L-L-E-B-O-R-E, hellebore, and they're in bloom right now. They're kind of a prehistoric looking flower and plant. Mm. They're not like anything you see much of. They bloom from now till sometime in the spring, maybe May. It depends on the weather, everything depends on the weather. If it turned 100 degrees, they'd probably stop blooming. But they like it cool. They like it damp.
Yeah.
And they're not a hot sun plant. They're a shade. They're a shade dude.
So they're more like spring, as you were saying.
Yeah, they're blooming right now.
Yeah.
And they've been blooming, they've been blooming, some of them blooming about a month now.
Wow.
Like the end of January. No, maybe not the end of January. 1st of February for sure. But we've got them in our planting beds around our house and around the nursery beds too.
Yeah.
But they're everywhere. Again, they're not as flashy as a daffodil, but they're just really exotic looking. They're really cool. They're kind of a purplish, dull purplish, reddish bloom. Some of them are white. Some of them are pink. And they just bloom, and they bloom, and they bloom. And then when it gets hot, they quit blooming.
Nope.
Just like the daffodil. When it gets hot, okay,
we're done.
We're done for this year. And
see you next time.
Yeah, see you next spring, very, very early. But they are mixed with daffodils would be quite a combination, because if you had one large bed where nothing else was growing and it was kind of shady all afternoon, yeah, you put the hellebores and the daffodils and, you know, some other things like that, and you'd never have to do anything. Oh. I mean, they would choke out the weeds, for crying out loud. You know, that's how they are.
That's worth it right there.
But they like it, like I said, they like it cool and damp. And the flower colors, like I said, can be white, pink, purple, and eventually the flowers actually turn green.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they come out purple, and after, a month, 5 weeks, I haven't timed them.
Yeah.
But then you go, what happened to the purple flowers? Well, they're green flowers now before they kind of dry up and fall off. And then it's
interesting.
And it's a small plant, maybe gets about a foot tall, a couple of feet wide. That's it. And just sits there and looks green the rest of the year. And, you know, the snow doesn't hurt it. I've had, 2 feet of snow sitting on top of mine. And you think, oh, my gosh, you're gone and destroyed.
Right,
and
right.
As soon as the snow melts, there they are blooming, you know.
Thanks for the insulation.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Oh, gosh. Now, sometimes the plant will die down in the winter, and you think, oh, my gosh, it died. It's gone. But it just went dormant. It's resting, and the root system is energizing itself for the new stems to be coming back in about mid-January. You'll start to see new stems out, and then they begin to bloom about now, mid-Feb. Again, that's a weather kind of thing. If it were colder, they probably wouldn't be blooming now, but it's been
a weird
kind of weird you know, sometimes it's 30 and sometimes it's 32 and sometimes
it's
34
48
and then it goes down to 29
exactly.
But once they get up and they go, you know, they're on the deal. And the rate of growth and the bloom time depends on the soil and the light. And if it's good soil, if it's damp, and they've got a little bit of sunshine, not direct, but sunshine, because I don't know that they like fog. I don't know anything that likes fog. I sure don't. but all that depends on, like I say, on the soil, the soil that they're planted in. And I planted some of mine in really bad soil. I didn't do anything to it. It was an experiment.
Yeah.
I'll just dig a hole here and kind of crumble a regular forest soil up and throw it in and see how it does.
Right.
See how tough they really are. Well, they're tough. They're great. They don't care.
They came up, huh?
Yeah, they came up and they grow, and they've been in the ground, I don't know, 10 years or something like that.
still going strong.
Yeah, still going strong. They're doing well, and they're getting larger every year, and they look good.
Huh.
But like I said, the rate of growth and the bloom time depends on the soil and the light. And if the soil warms up enough and it's light enough, in other words, not fog, heavy fog every day,
right,
they go, whoa, okay. Now, the deep shade means later blooms. If they're in real deep, deep shade, it'll bloom, but it'll be a later time that it begins to bloom. And they look, like I said earlier, they look like a prehistoric plant. The leaves are kind of, I don't know if exotic is the word, but if you thought, if you were in Jurassic Park and you were looking at dinosaurs and you looked in the ground and you'd see these plants, you'd say, oh, yeah, they belong here. That's what a hellebore, to me, looks like.
I'll have to Google that.
Yeah, you ought to, and put it on your magic screen here. And they're, like I say, very extremely hardy. And size-wise, 1.5, 2 feet tall, maybe 2.5 feet tall, and that wide as well. And they're slow growers, yeah. But 2 feet, you know, that's
pretty good size.
Yeah, it's pretty good size.
Yeah.
And I planted the ones at my house in kind of a rock garden. I made kind of a, you know, I had some leftover rocks that I used in my pond.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll just throw these dudes together and throw some of these hellebores in between. And, hey, very pretty, very, very decorative. And that's a good choice for them. We have a break?
Yeah, we can go do that. Alrighty, we'll be right back.
Yep, and you have questions, get them ready.
And the phone number,
673-4464.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio, 1240 KQEN, also heard on 93.9 FM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Ready, we are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and looks like we got a call.
Okay.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winter's.
Yeah, hello, Mike. I've got a question about reseeding my lawn. Is it too early to do that?
Yes and no. It won't dry out. If you put the seed on now, it won't dry out, and that's a good thing. But it's not real warm to enhance quick germination. the germination will take longer, and you may have to add a little more seed, you know, in another couple of weeks or 3 weeks. But no, go ahead and do it. We've done it, and in some of our projects, just to kind of fill the bare spots. And it takes a while, a little bit longer to germinate the seed, but eventually it comes up.
Very good. You answered that question, and okay. I thank you for it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye.
All righty. You can call now. The line's open for you.
Yeah. Or I can just rattle on about what blooms in the wintertime, and you can take notes on that, too. So, but right now, there are some low-growing, colorful flowers in bloom. Very low-growing. I mean, like 2 inches, 3 inches tall, maybe 6 inches wide. Maybe that's about it. These are called primrose, which is another early bloomer that, you know, you don't notice until you see the blooms. I mean, it's kind of a nondescript leaf. They're kind of, you know, if you like plants and you're really check plants out, you know, they're attractive with their leaves and stuff.
I think Nat King Cole had a song, Primrose Lane.
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. Primrose Lane. You sing it for me, okay?
No, I can't.
Yeah. But the flowers are really cool, and they are so bright. There's reds, pinks, purples, yellows, whites, and they come back year after year after year after year after year. They never quit. And now in the summertime, when it gets, well, say June, July, they look like they're dead. There's no, the blooms, it'll bloom for a couple months at least.
Yeah.
But you get into the warmer weather and it pushes new growth. And then when it gets like July, like I say, August, the plant looks like, whoa, what's wrong with that plant? Well, give it a little bit of water. It'll survive. But as soon as it cools off in the fall again, you know, like October-ish, it starts looking good and just looks good. And then even in January, I've seen some of them blooming in December and then in January and now in February, they're everywhere. Very tough little plant, nothing to it. And you, like I say, you don't notice them until they start blooming. But these plants, believe it or not, are native to the Himalayas. The Himalayas, you know, very large, cold mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why they're a cool season bloomer. They like the snow. They like the cold. They like the rain. You know,
probably like Siberia.
Yeah, that's good. But in a hot summer, you've got them in your yard. Say they would prefer a shadier location than full sun, and they'll continue to grow. They're done blooming, but they make a nice little ground cover. But like on the coast over here on our Oregon coast, they could be full sun plants because it never gets, 70, 72 degrees.
Yeah.
And they do well. And they do really, really well. And in the Western Garden book I was doing some research in, I counted 22 varieties of these guys.
Wow.
And that means 22 different colors. Variieties.
Same thing, variety.
Right. And some of them, which only grow 4 inches, while some of them grow 2 or 3 feet tall. And I didn't know that until I read that and did my research. Because then all the ones I've ever seen, all the ones we've ever sold at the nursery, they're small. You know, 4 inches, maybe 4 inches tall, 10 inches wide, a foot wide. That's about it. And you go, all right, okay, and then, you know, big deal. But every year, they pop. And there they are. And look at the color. It's the primroses. All right, they're doing good. And they all bloom with bright color, you know. And it seems like yellow is their dominant color. I don't know why. It seems there's more yellow than anything else. But they also come, like I said, in white, purple, pink, orange, red, lavender. I don't know what other colors are in between, but they have multiple colors. And they hug the ground, and they just look good in rock gardens or little planters or even pots. Gives you something nice to see there. And then then getting up a little higher, we've got winter Daphne or Daphne odora. There's a lot of Daphnes, but Daphne odora is the one you'll find mostly in Douglas County. And it comes originally from China and Japan.
China?
Yeah, China and Japan. All these plants, if you've noticed over the years, when I look up the origin of the plant, they're native to Asia.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's like, and I'm thinking,
that's where everything started.
I guess.
And still is.
And yeah, let's not go there. And the early explorers, the sea captains and all that, yeah. When they were sailing goods across the oceans and picking things up and bringing them to the States, you always had a plant guy on board.
Yeah.
And he always said, well, man, it'll look cool in San Francisco. I'll take a couple of them and a couple of these, and he'd take them on the boat, and they'd get to San Francisco, and he'd either give them away or plant them in his yard if he had a yard.
Yeah.
And a lot of our plant materials that we think are native to America are not. They've come from foreign countries. Like I say, the Himalayas, my gosh, the Himalayas, they're tall mountains. They're full of snow all the time. And these guys, they bloom there, you know, the primrose. And so it's amazing.
There's Primrose Lane for you.
Oh, gosh.
Primrose Lane.
Oh, boy. I don't know how you did that. Oh, geez, Louise. But Winter Daphne, Daphne Adora, that's the one, like I said, you find mostly in Douglas County. And also, it comes originally from China and Japan, like I said. And it has pale pink blooms, and they're starting now to bud up. And they'll be opening here, you know, shortly. And when they open up and they're in full bloom, the aroma is wonderful. The aroma is absolutely excellent, very sweet. You'd like them. Daphne, it looks... if you looked at it and go, gee, that doesn't look like a very tough plant, but it is a very tough plant. Mm. The only thing, like everything else, it likes good drainage, mulching soil with some afternoon shade, and does really well. And it doesn't require a lot of water in the summer once it's established. I mean, it's one of those tough plants. And the Daphne Adora is evergreen, and it can grow 3 feet tall, 4 feet wide, maybe, yeah, and it could grow larger than that, right. 5 feet wide. So don't crowd it. Give it some space. And then infrequent summer water increases flowering for the next spring. So in other words, if you starve it for water in the summertime, what that does, it sets more flower buds for the following spring.
Their spring
is like February. That's when they start to bloom. And they're already, like I say, opening up and looking like spring.
And doing their thing.
Yeah. So all these things I've mentioned so far is just a cascade of color all the way from, you know, December, November, and it never stops. And if you take the time to make a plan and get these types of plants, you can always have color year-round. I mean, summer color is easy. You got perennials, you got annuals, you got, you know, geraniums, you got fuchsias, you got all that stuff in the spring and the summer and the fall. But usually your yard looks a little dead in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's dormant. Everything's went to sleep for a while.
Right.
And so, but these things will really perk it up. It'll get you enthused earlier on.
There you go.
You know.
Keeps your interest up.
Exactly. And Daphne Adora is an evergreen. And like I said, it can grow 3 feet tall, 5 feet wide on average, and really, really looks good. And I was told early on, I might have read this as well, that they were deer-proof. So I believed that, and, you know, why would the experts lie to me, right? And then I planted one at my house, and it was looking good as I walk across my little bridge there to my house. I planted it right there, so, you know, you would greet me.
Keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and it was doing well for a couple of years, growing real well and blooming and all that. And, you know, I thought, well, gosh, they are deer-proof. That's great. Well, it was getting really nice, and I came home one hot August day, and half of my Daphne was missing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the top half was missing, and there was a few broken branches, and I saw the hoof prints in the soil. Of course, I didn't see the deer. It was good when I left that morning.
Right.
And it's right next to the house. You know, I mean, within 10, 15 feet of the house.
That's a brave deer.
Yeah, and I got a dog, and I got a, you know, I got the whole nine yards out there. And, yeah, came in and he ate about, oh, I'd say a third of the plant. And I thought, well, obviously they're not deer-proof.
Deer-proof,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And disproves that theory.
Yeah, disproved that one real cool, real quick. But the deer did not do a nice, neat job of pruning either.
Uh-oh.
That's what irritated me the most.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up pruning and shaping it and getting the dead stems off and the broken branches. There was a few broken branches and uneven here and there. And so I pruned it up and shaped it. And then I read something interesting that all parts of the Daphne, especially the fruits, are poisonous if ingested.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that deer got its just desserts.
Yeah. And in
so
all,
to speak.
Well, I don't know. I didn't find any dead. But it's poisonous to animals, people, everything, according to what I was reading now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, in all the years that it's been there, it's only been eaten on once. And since that time, which was probably 5 years ago when that happened,
yeah.
I mean, it's bigger and better and more beautiful and blooming and all that. So I would say it's deer-proof or deer-resistant. they take one bite and they're done.
They're gone.
Yeah.
We
got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
On News Radio 1240. KQEN and also 93.9 FM, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
That it is indeed, and the line is open.
Yes, and the number is 673-4464 if you have a question.
There you go.
And it doesn't have to be about what I'm talking about either. It can be about your palm trees are not looking good, or you want to put a sod lawn in, or should I turn on my sprinkler system yet? You know, any kind of question.
Anything like that.
It's fair game. I will not laugh and I will not ridicule, okay? I'll help you out.
I'll turn his mic off if he...
Yeah, he'll just cut the wire and I'm dead in the water, you know? Anyway, I've been talking about plants that bloom in the winter so that you can have some color in your yard in the winter. And we've talked about, Daphne adores and primroses and those kinds of things. And, you know, then I told you about the deer doing a number on my Adora, Daphne.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. It doesn't bloom in the winter, but it is budded up. It's getting ready to open up. And it does bloom for, gosh, months.
Wow.
And I don't do anything special to it.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I remember, I water it. If the leaves are actually drooping, I go, oh shoot, I gotta water that. I forgot for the last 3 months. You know, but it's a tough plant. Now you want larger plants.
Must be tough. It survived a deer attack.
That's right. And the deer, I must have run away and died. I don't know. It's poisonous. But for larger plants in bloom, there is the camellia family. And I've spoken about camellias before. But you know, if you look around town as you drive around, you'll see these big evergreen, shiny-leaved shrubs or even small trees with these gorgeous flowers just opening up everywhere. And you go, wow, I wonder what that is. Well, it's a camellia.
Mm.
And they're all over. They are a good plant. They are a tough plant. And, you know, this is when they bloom. They bloom from now till, say, June or so. And they'll easy into April and in May, but I've had mine at the nursery, the big ones that I planted there, blooming in clear into June.
Jeez.
Not with a lot of flowers, but still a few
still
flowers.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, left on them. The height of the bloom is, March, April, May, you know, or even part of February. And again, it's a weather thing. If they get a little bit warmer, a little bit wetter, they do a lot better. And they're blooming now. They're starting to bloom now. And they get very, very large. And, you know, Douglas County is camellia country. It does well here. And there are over 3,000 named varieties.
Mamma mia.
Yeah, and guess where they're native to? They're native to Eastern and Southern Asia.
China.
Yeah. Yeah, China, Japan, I mean, Hong Kong, I mean everywhere. Everywhere. It's just, it's amazing. They're just a tough plant, and they're pretty even when they're not blooming because they have a kind of a waxy, deep, shiny green leaf. So it's very attractive in that respect. Mm. And I saw some of them in bloom a month ago. Not at my place, but as I was driving around, what's that blooming? And I go by and it was a camellia. So some are earlier bloomers. I mean, with 3,000 varieties, I can't memorize all the different ones that do what they do and when they do it. But the colors are striking. And like I said, they can bloom for months, given the right location. I've planted some around, like I say, in my nursery building. And they're coming into bloom now, and they're going to bloom at least until April. And I've seen them bloom into May and even into June. Mm. Again, not with a lot of flowers, but with some. Mm-hmm. And if the weather stays cool and cloudy, they definitely will bloom into April. They don't like the hot sun. They will grow in full sun, but they won't look real good. The leaves will be bleached. The flowers will be bleached.
A little peaked.
Yeah, but they'll grow. But they're ugly. they're ugly.
They're ugly.
Yeah, and because normally, like I say, in the proper place, the leaves are beautiful, shiny, deep green. And they're also evergreen. They're not. There's some deciduous camellias, but that's another show. But the best location is like morning sun, afternoon shade, and they will do a fantastic job for you. So as we travel into now we're into early summer, we've bloomed our way till June, and things are starting to fade. Well. You can always put, the petunias and the marigolds and the geraniums and all that kind of stuff out. And then there are perennials and then there are roses and there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. But
you certainly can't kill a rose.
Right. No, you cannot kill a rose. I've tried many, many times. But if you wanted a small tree that's very, very attractive, and I've spoken about these before. And it can be either a large shrub. If you prune it tight, it can be a large shrub. But I like them as a single-stemmed tree because they're very pretty and with a whole lot of color. I mean, you need sunglasses to look at it because it's so bright. And
wow.
And the tree is called, or the shrub is called, crepe myrtle. And I've spoken about crepe myrtle before. But I was trying to paint a picture for you of what your yard could look like from the dead of winter all the way through summer, and then there's stuff that blooms in the fall. I'll probably talk about that next week.
Okay.
But, some of these crepe myrtle, they can grow to a tree to about 20 feet tall.
That's pretty good size.
Yeah, and not so much in Douglas County, but like in a climate that, say, mid-California or something like that, where they have a little bit more warmth because our seasons are somewhat
very
shorter.
Very short,
But I've planted some in several landscaping jobs over the years, and when I put them in, they were a single-stem tree with a bushy top, and they were maybe 6 feet tall. 5.5 to 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I checked on some of these, and they've probably been in the ground 5 years. Now they're up there around 7, pushing for 8 feet tall. And they're very attractive. And they bloomed when they start blooming about June.
Yeah.
It's a weather related thing.
Right.
Because they like the hot. They like the sun. This is a full sun baby here.
They like it hot.
Yeah. And they bloom clear into October. That's 5 months, something like that.
Yeah, that's a long period there.
That's a long period, and they're just gorgeous, and they attract honeybees, you know, so if you need other
things. All the good things.
All the good things, exactly. And they have hundreds of small flowers on each one, hundreds of them, and they like it hot, and not, right now they're, and they are deciduous. They are not evergreen. And they'll lose their leaves in the winter, but as soon as spring. And in fact, I was at a lady's house today. We did a cleanup job for her on her landscape, and I was there a week or so ago. And we were walking around the yard, and she asked me, "Well, what about this shrub? What about that?" I said, "Well, this one's dead. This one is this one's that."
Yeah.
Well, we were walking around today in the finished product, and she said, "Well, that one right there that you said it was dead, I want such and such." And I looked at it closely, and there was new buds coming up. I said, "I made a big mistake."
Oh.
That one, there's new buds coming up. I said, "Oh, well, we'll just leave it." So
just leave it there.
You know, so just a week of halfway decent weather, and it went, "Whoa, yeah, well, it's spring. Let's go, man. Let's get out of here."
Got so, revived.
Yeah, I got revived real quick. Oh, golly. Now, there is one variety of crepe myrtle. This is good. It's called the giant crepe myrtle, and it's native from India to Australia.
Mm.
Grows wild, like our Doug fir.
Yeah.
It grows wild over there in India and Australia. And they can grow up to 80 feet tall and 30 feet wide, and the flowers are white to purple.
My gosh, that's a big one.
Yeah, can you imagine an 80-foot? No, So, but
our oak trees don't even get that.
Well, they do, but
do they?
They don't have flowers all over them.
No,
all, so.
They don't.
But
no,
I haven't
sure.
seen any of those big ones like that around Douglas County.
Yeah.
Yet, so, but in all crepe myrtles, they bloom on new wood. In other words, when they push new sprouts, new little branches, that's where the blooms occur. So, you know, to make sure of blooms each summer, they need to be pruned each winter, say about 18 inches to increase next year's blooms. So you know, in the middle of January, there's no leaves on them. Go ahead and if they're, say, 7 feet tall and you want them down to 5 feet tall, go ahead and trim them.
Yeah.
And you could flat top them or round them out. And then when they push the new growth in the spring, as the new growth comes up, that's where the blooms occur. So, again, don't be afraid to prune. It's good for them. They do well. But I'd love to see one 80 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, geez. But, they need to be pruned a little bit each winter, and it just keeps them in shape, and they don't get out of hand. The problem I find when I'm visiting different clients around the place, around Douglas County, and they say, "Well, yeah, I need some pruning, and I've had this landscape in for 6, 7, 8 years or 10 years, and I just don't know what to do." And so I go, and we walk around, and I start telling them, "Well, you need to do this," and I'll have my pruners there, and I'll say, "Here, let me give you an example," and I'll prune it for them, whatever it is, a shrub or a small tree, and they're amazed. "Oh, you can do that? It won't die?" "No, it won't die, honest.
No,
it's like cutting your fingernails, honest. It's okay." And so they learn that if you do that, you keep the plant in shape, and you'll have more flowers, and it'll be healthier all the way around. So. That's just nature. That's how it works. Do we have a call?
No, we have one final break.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back with 80-foot creep maple.
No, crepe.
Crepe? I said creep.
Yeah, you said creep. You said creep maple. It's crepe myrtle.
Myrtle.
That's good. You're catching on.
News Radio 1240 KQEN, also heard on 93.9 FM.
Maybe.
Maybe.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back.
We're back, and if you have a question, you've got time, 673-4464. And I've been talking about crepe myrtle, and other blooming shrubs and small trees, etc., that you can have year-round color in your yard if you do your homework and listen to my show and pay attention, and we can fix you up so it'll look like Disneyland year-round.
There you go.
Yeah, and I've been speaking about crepe myrtle. And here's the cool thing about crepe myrtle. If you water it heavy and you fertilize it in the summer, it has a tendency to limit the number of blooms. It does well on neglect, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't like a whole bunch of care. There's one I have planted in front of the nursery. And I've never pruned it. I just kind of let it go wild just to see what had happened. And it's probably a good 15 feet tall and probably 7 feet across, and it's like a giant bush. And when it's blooming, you can't see leaves, you can't see branches, because there's so many blooms on it, it just covers everything else up. And that is hard ground, it's full sun, and very seldom gets hardly any water.
Boy, it'd make a good fence if you had more than just one.
Exactly. And but that's how tough they are. So if you think you can put this in the middle of a lawn, or you need a sprinkler system for it or something like that, nah, don't bother.
It
limits. In fact, if you put too much water on it, you'll kill it. I mean, it's very susceptible to overwater in that way. And as I was doing my research, I found that there are 32 varieties of crepe myrtle that are listed in the Western Garden Book. Now, there may be other books that have more varieties. And it would be good to do your internet thing and look on the internet and see what's available, see the types, see the colors, that kind of thing. And it would help you make selections. And they make a great show in your yard wherever you plant them. And this one landscaping job I was telling you about, I think I planted 5 spread out, a couple at the 2 or 3 at the entry, and then it had a patio, and I put one on the corner of the patio. So the patio is probably 50 feet long, and there's 2 planters on each end. So they've, as you drive in and you get out of your car, you walk to the front door and you see 3 of them in a mounded area with other plants, and then you see the others on the patio. It's just gorgeous.
Good combo.
And they're all different colors.
Nice.
There's purples and reds and, gosh, I don't know. I forget what the colors were now, but they're really, really pretty. Now, here's another good spot. But besides putting them in the sun, for some reason, deer don't seem to bother them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. As soon as I said that, there's deer out there listening, saying, I'll eat that sucker to the ground.
I'll show you.
But they might take a few bites, but they don't destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Some plants, they just pull right off the ground and chomp it out chomp on it and spit it out and all that kind of stuff. And they also do well in like large containers. If you have a great big old container that you're trying to figure out what can I put in there that look really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, crepe myrtle would look really, really good in there. And throw it on your patio or your deck and protect it and with a lot of good sun and keep it a little dry. They like it. They like it dry, man.
Don't drown it.
Yeah. So with all that, there's a whole landscape that you can do, and you don't have to do it all at once. You can just take a look at your yard and say, do I need more color or do I want more color, year-round?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, just begin to make a plan and do your homework, do your research. Come visit us at the nursery. We can, my people will tell you, what we have and what you can do, and we can show you examples of the camellias, for instance, and the crepe myrtles, and we can show you. We've got them planted all around the nursery. And we did that just to show people who aren't familiar with plants, this is what it can look like in 15 years, or this is what it can look in 10 years. And then they get a really good idea. And some of the things we've pruned and kept fairly short, and then other things we've let go and get taller and just kind of prune and thin the bottom branches. So there's a variety of pruning technique that someone can learn from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people like the bushy look, some people like the thin, tall look. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this is how you do this one, and this is how you do that one. And, you know, so it's an ongoing educational process. Yes. Yeah. When you come in to buy plants at Wintergreen. And we've got plenty of little landscaped areas with different types of hardy stuff that it's all different. And so you can see and say, well, this is what, if I like that particular plant out there, this is what it's going to look like in 10 years. Oh, I like that. Or, no, I don't like that. And
so we'll do something else.
Yeah, we'll do something else so I can show you something else.
Yeah.
And that's how easy it is. But until a person familiarizes themselves with what's available, and there's a whole lot available, you don't know.
No, exactly.
If you're not a plant person and you haven't done a lot of it, it's like, you know, cars. If you go to Lithia and ask questions, those guys tell you anything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it. I just drive it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination.
And there's so many makes and models.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't even know how to work all the buttons in my truck, for crying out loud.
I don't either.
Some of them I push, and I went, oh, what did I push that for? And the dashboard lights up and says, you blew it, stupid.
Right.
Don't unpush it.
I just got a new vehicle about a week ago, and there's so much stuff on it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Nuts.
I'll never get through it.
And I try to get the book out and look in the book. And sometimes I can make heads or tails of what they're saying, if they got a picture of it. As long as there's a picture of it and an explanation under the picture, I can do it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Are we wrapped up?
Not quite. We got 10 seconds.
10 seconds? My goodness. What am I going to say for 10 seconds?
Well, let's see. Where are you located?
It's half mile south of Winston, Highway 99. Look for the big green roofs. And our phone number is 679-8224.
There you go. What are we going to talk about next week, or do you know yet?
I have no idea. I look for cool things to talk about as I drive around and see. I try to make it interesting, try to make it new.
Make that inspiration hit you.
Inspiration is what I need.
All right.
Thank you for listening.